You know, the more you worship, the more you get free. Because as you sow, you're sowing your way out. The enemy brings bondage. The enemy always brings you to you. Me, myself, and I. Oh, what about me? Oh, yes. That's cool. But God wants to bring deliverance, healing, freedom. He loves to touch his people. But so many times people have a hard time receiving because they're so caught up in themselves. But the move of God right now is bringing us to a place where he can melt us, mold us, and use us. There is a place called the danger zone. And we have a teaching on it already, so this is danger zone 2. Danger zone 2 is for me and you. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 11? There's a secular song called Danger Zone. I think they played it in Top Gun, yeah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Danger Zone 2. Would you speak it with me, please? O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your what? Own affections. These are emotional reactions. Everyone say emotional reactions. They're not emotional responses. When there's an emotional reaction, any reaction sows into the flesh. So when you're reacting on something instead of responding on something, because when you respond according to the word of God, according to his ways. But when you react according to your flesh, which is the old man. And what that does is cause you to sow in the flesh and reap corruption. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections or your emotional reactions. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as what? Children, because they ain't learned this yet. You also be open. Do not be what? Of any unevenly yoked with what? Unbelievers. So what is he saying? Watch this. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has a light with darkness? What's he saying? Associations bring what? Impartations. Say it with me. Associations bring impartations. Now watch this. And what communion has what? Or what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial, which is witchcraft? Or what part is a believer with unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idiots or idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell with them, I'll walk with them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people if they do what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And don't touch what is unclean or don't even agree with it. And I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Again, they were restricted by emotional reactions, associations which bring impartations. Remember, self is an offspring of Satan. Your old man was born in darkness. It's flesh. That's why he needs to be born again. Amen? So, what protects self? Pride. We're going to talk about these things. Pride protects self. And what protects pride? Fear. Fear protects pride. Anger protects fear. And lying protects anger. They're all unclean. I'm going to say it again. Pride protects self. Fear protects pride. Anger protects fear. And lying protects anger. And they're all unclean. What do they create? Emotional reactions. Not responses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. You know, the Bible tells us something specifically. It says, deny yourself daily. Pick up the cross, fight, and follow. So there's a process. It's a cycle that we repeat to continue to put the old man under submission, to completely continue to get rid of everything that we've carried for all these years. Why? Because when you react, you're actually reacting to the things of past, not to the things of future. Because we're supposed to be living from the future to the present. Amen? And Philippians 4:4, let's speak it. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for everything. Be anxious for what? Nothing. You know, there are so many people that are nuclear reactors because they're anxious for everything. I want it now. It's because they don't know the Lord yet. They haven't learned his ways. But in that process of transition, as you continue to deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow, that will help break you down. There's a breakdown that comes. It's a transitional breakdown. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. Go seek God. And supplication. With what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, not man. Go to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all your understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So what's happening is people are living out of their mind instead of out of their heart. Because the heart is still hard. The heart is still in survival mode, not in surrender. So they haven't learned to live out of their heart yet. And that's the process. And in that process, as you grow, and you know, you got to sow your way out. You know, when you're speaking, you're letting air out, aren't you? Garbage out, Holy Ghost in. That's why the words are so important to speak when you worship. You surrender. You know, when we lift our hands to heaven, we're surrendering to God. My daughter used to come up to me when she was a little girl, and she'd lift her hands up to me and say, hold you, hold you, hold you. And I'd pick her up and hold her. And from that point on, every time I lift my hands up to the Lord, I'm always saying, hold you. And he picks me up and holds me. So prayer, supplications, and thanksgiving will guard your heart and your mind. See, the process of transition is so that we stop living out of our mind, an emotional mind, and live out of our spirit and heart. James chapter 1, verse 21. You know, the Bible says that the the pathway is difficult of righteousness. But the sinful way is wide. They want to blow everybody off their seat. The word says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all things will be added. So many times people want things right away, but they're not seeking the righteousness of the kingdom. They want God to do all kinds of things for them, but they haven't earned it. Everything is earned. Amen. Salvation was paid for. But you got to maintain it. Glory to God. Verse 21, let's speak it together. James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So you got to know the word. Why? Because this is God's promises. It's his voice recorded. But be what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he who observes himself goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word or the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, why? Because they're living out of their mind, not their heart. This one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Wow. See, the word calms the soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions and imaginations are associated with your soul. So we must be a hearer and a waiter. We must be a hearer and a what? Waiter. In Psalm 40, verse 1. And I don't mean waiting tables. I mean waiting on the Lord. Psalm 40, verse 1. You have entered the danger zone. The danger zone here is between waiting and doing. Because while you're waiting, the enemy wants you to move out of that position to do. He wants you to skip waiting and do. That's reaction. Responding is waiting on the Lord. And as you wait on the Lord, it means because you trust him. You got to learn not to trust yourself. See, survival is always about trusting yourself. I don't need anybody. I can do it all myself. This, that, whatever. Remember, the devil always brings you to you. God brings you to him. The devil never brings you to God. He brings you to you. So the danger zone here is while you're waiting to do. Does everybody get it? That's when the enemy attacks you the worst. While you're waiting. Oh, he throws all kinds of stuff at you. You need to do this. You need to do that. You're going to miss this. Oh, he tells you you're going to miss everything. What's he trying to do? Get you out of position from the place of waiting. See, when waiting comes, it's not a push. When you're waiting, you're being led. All of a sudden, you are carried. You are carried in the spirit to the next thing that God wants you to do. It's real simple. You know, people are anxious for all kinds of things. I need a car today because I'm looking for a job. Well, you wait on the Lord and it's going to come. Either that, you're going to be a doer, go do and get, and you're going to miss the best. See, I don't settle for good. I settle for the best. And the best comes from my Father. Good comes from the enemy. And when it seems to be good, it always breaks down. Why? Because the knowledge of what? Good and evil is the tree. But when you associate with the tree of life, best comes. And God gives you a lifetime warranty. Hallelujah. Psalm 1 of verse 1. Psalm 40. Is everybody there? I waited what? Patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He's put a new song to my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Danger zone between wait and do. Many do without a true wait, then react and not respond. We must learn. That's patience. We must learn to wait on the Lord. But you're not going to wait on someone you don't know. Amen? You're not going to wait on someone you don't trust. That's why it's time to learn and know the Lord. Romans 12. Romans 12. Hallelujah. Romans. Are we Roman? I used to be a Catholic, Roman Catholic. I roamed everywhere till Jesus abducted me. I'm no longer Roman. Now I'm of his way. Hallelujah. Romans. What did I say, 12? Yeah, thank you. I'm in the 8. In verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's speak it together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thoughts, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, not your will, not my will, his will. Amen? So that mind must be... So what are you doing when you're renewing your mind every day? You're cleansing it from garbage. See, the carnal mind can never be converted. It will never convert. That's why we have the mind of Christ. He gave us a new spirit, amen, and a new heart, which is associated with your mind, your soul. Carnal mind. Oh, yeah. So we're not to prove our will, but his will. So we're constantly flushing our thoughts every day. And that's a process. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, if you're walking according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation, is there? The enemy doesn't have access to you. But if you're walking in the flesh, now if you're walking in the flesh, are you a reactor or a responder? Reactor.
Right.
Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in it, it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say righteous requirement, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Wow. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, the carnal, the world. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Look at verse 7. Are you ready? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be, can never be converted. It can never be converted. That's why you must flush it every day with the word. The carnal mind not subject to God or his commands of his word. That's why we don't live out of the mind. We live out of the Spirit or out of the heart. But there's that transition, isn't there? See, the mind is supposed to protect the heart, but it doesn't. Unless it's been the mind of Christ protects the heart. See, so the more that you feed yourself with the Word of God, the mind of Christ is taking over. And it's flushing out the carnal mind to become weaker. In other words, what you feed becomes stronger. Amen? What you don't feed becomes weaker. 2 Corinthians 10:4. That's why so many people will quit before conversion. They give up. Because they've never fought spiritually. See, the spiritual fight is more difficult than a physical. Because you can't choke it, shoot it, bury it, light it on fire. You can't. It's got to be done in the Spirit. Second Corinthians 10, everybody there? Verse 4. Hallelujah. Well, let's start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, what this here is supposed to be in the physical, we do not war according to the physical. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A memory lie from where? Your past. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, where are these arguments occurring? In your mind. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is what? Fulfilled. So you ain't going to punish the end of those thoughts unless you're submitting to God. And how do you punish it? With the Word of God. Oh, strongholds, memory lies, deceptions from your past. That's why we have shirts that say, who told you that? We have hats that say, who told you that? Where did you come from? And you need to ask yourself that when that stupid thought comes. Who told me that? And where did you come from? There's a spirit behind that. James chapter 1. James 1 verse 2. Again, you're not going to do these things until you put them into practice. It takes practice. You couldn't drive a car one time, and then you learned how to drive a car. Now you can get in a car and drive it like there's nothing to it. It's the same thing with walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. See, now you've entered the kingdom of God, and now you got to learn kingdom business. You got to learn kingdom principles, kingdom rules and regulations, things that can protect you from the world. James chapter 1, verse 2, are we there? Oh, hallelujah, let's speak it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Didn't say you wouldn't fall into various trials. It says when you fall into them. Why? What's it going to do? Knowing that the same testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Patience is endurance. Now, verse 4, what does it say? But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Everyone say faith, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's why we must renew. Renew. We don't want to be considered unstable. But, babies in Christ are unstable, aren't they? Very unstable. They haven't learned yet, but they got to be willing to learn. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrew 12. Just back one book, and you're right there. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with what? Endurance. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need endurance, which is also known as discipline. Discipline is not associated with feelings. Discipline is a power choice. Everyone say power choice. Hebrews 10, 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you receive the what? Promise. Wow. See, everybody wants a promise before being obedient to the will of God. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. Wow. We are in need of endurance and discipline. We want to receive the promise after God gives you assignments to grow. When people come into the discipleship house, that's a specific assignment. It's a 9-month assignment to grow. And then in the little bits of assignments, you begin to receive freedom bit by bit. It's like getting sculptured, you know? The word talks about God talks about putting the people on a potter's wheel and molding them. And what happens, look at the molding doesn't feel good. It don't feel good, because God wants to make sure you're not going to live by your feelings. See, when we come and worship, so many people worship when they feel like it. When you don't feel like it in your worship, that pleases God. And then after you start worshiping, man, you get blessed. Hallelujah. Philippians 1, verse 3. Danger zone 2. And what is that? It is the place between waiting and doing. Philippians 1, verse 3. Anybody there yet? Let's speak it. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, how is he going to complete it? By what? Your cooperation. If you refuse to cooperate, how can he do it? Verse 7, just as is right for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellence, and that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Good. Verse 12, let's speak it together. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ and that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Wow. And I'm going to close at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So a person that cannot wait, are they casting their cares upon him? No. Verse 8, be sober, which means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, there's a process when God eventually will open individuals' eyes, spiritual eyes, and they will begin to understand more. But he doesn't do that right away. He puts you in a place where you got to trust. You got to deny yourself. You got to sow your way out. You got to spiritually fight with the word and praise and worship. Verse 9, what does it say? Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we ain't the only one going through it. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffer well, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Wow. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Danger zone. What's the danger zone? Between what? Waiting and doing. That's where the enemy attacks you. And we're always waiting on something, even after we've been called to do it and we complete the mission, there's another mission. So it seems like we're always in this battle. The enemy's always there. But we're to praise our way out. We're to be joyful and thankful. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you have. Amen. One thing, God, share that with me. Don't look at what you don't have. And what I've given you, use. When you've used it, I'll give you more. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for preparing us for things that are happening and teaching us the danger zones, that they may be lit up in our spirit and that we may be activated with our sonar, our spiritual sonar in these danger zones, Lord, so that we can escape the snare of the enemy and get free from ourselves and our past and live from the future in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.